In the name of the God who created us, the Christ who redeems us, and the Spirit that sustains us all, welcome home, children of God. It is an absolute joy to see everyone this morning. A few announcements in the life of the church. In the bulletin, of course, you will find information about happenings in church life. We are getting close to Treats and Treasures. So if you have not already, I would encourage you to schedule any pickups that you need to schedule for furniture or large items or large boxes so we can get you on the calendar to pick those items up. The information for that is in the care line and in the bulletin this morning about what days are happening. Also, in the bulletin this morning, every once in a while, as a preacher, I remember that church language and daily language don't always line up. You will see under the reaffirmation of baptismal faith, there's a moment of that that is called the aspersion and anointing. When a friend of mine and I, who trade bulletins and things, saw it, he responded to me and said, "You're not just going to stand up there and hurl insults at your congregation, are you? I assure you, I will not be casting aspersions upon you." An asperger is a little thing like this that's filled with water from the baptismal font that you throw on the room to indicate that we are standing in a holy space. So please don't fear that part of worship this morning. When we do come to time for the reaffirmation of baptismal faith, anyone who would like to come forward is welcome to do that. We'll be doing that here in the center of the church. When the time comes, I'll invite you to come down the intermediate aisles. So if you are on the outside sections, if you'll just come around the back to come down the intermediate aisles of the church, you'll receive an anointing with water from the font on your forehead, or if you prefer, you can simply offer your hand for a sign of the cross on your hand. If you are not baptized in a Christian tradition, you are still welcome to come up front and receive a blessing. This is not a secret ceremony of the church. It is a sign of God's grace. So everyone is invited to come and receive this reminder of God's love for us and God's covenant with us. Friends, in a busy and hurried world, our hearts sometimes just need to be stilled. So let us still them now, as together we prepare to worship God.
Please stand as you're able and join me in our call to worship. The voice calling long ago, the voice calling today, The voice calling to Jonah, compelling him to share the good news of God's redemptive love. With those who might be or feel like enemies, the people of Nineveh, those a different race, those with different beliefs, those who have hurt us, those we do not understand or even detest.
The voice called long ago, and the voice calling today.
Open our eyes and ears to hear the Lord's voice as we worship today. May we respond to God's call and be moved into action. Please join me in prayer. God of the seas, sky, and land, when Jonah turned to run from you, you showed him that nothing and no one could hide from your presence. You are in all things, and you love all things. Show us the gift of your presence, and help us to carry your word of compassion and grace to all the world. And when we, like Jonah, flee from you, pursue us yet again. In the name of the one who carried out your love flawlessly, Jesus Christ, our hope and our salvation, in calm and stormy seas. Amen. You may be seated. One of the privileges that we have is to come and confess our sins. If you'll join me, please, in the responsive prayer of confession. Like an ever-flowing stream from the heart of creation, your love flows for us now and always. Yet we are afraid to drink deep of the waters for life, for fear that we may see our reflection and not like what we see looking back. We are afraid to let others drink before us, for fear there will not be enough left for us. We are afraid to show others this living water, for fear that we may welcome the wrong people. Until our souls are parched and our spirits weary. Forgive our fears and transform us by your grace. Give us faith, O God, to see in the waters of life the abundance of your grace. Give us hearts to see in the waters of life the depth of your love. Give us love to see in the waters of life an invitation to all your children to come and drink deeply the love and mercy of God.
Friends, this good news is true and is worthy of our great celebration that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. Friends, believe this good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all understanding, be with you all. Please share signs of Christ's peace with your neighbors. Brother Sam, peace to you, my friend.
Congratulations on a successful pacemaker.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Peace to you, my friend.
Peace.
Peace to you, good sir.
You too.
Peace, my friend. John, peace to you, friend. Johnny. Peace be with you, my friend.
Good to see you. You guys are okay.
Absolutely. Hey, peace, sister. I was thinking about y'all the other day. How you doing?
We're doing well.
I'm glad. Yes. I'm glad. Peace to you, my friend.
You.
And
missed
y'all
you.
Too. Have y'all been having fun?
Oh, yeah. We're
good.
Doing good.
Good, good, good.
We had to play hooky last week to see Wimbledon.
Oh, my gosh. So good.
Our TV, 5 years old, David, went out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so our neighbors clapped us.
Oh, good. Good. I recorded it. It was amazing. Thank you. Friends, this morning we continue our journey with Jonah. You'll recall last week God called Jonah and said, "Go to Nineveh and proclaim my word to the unrighteous people there." And Jonah said, "What? Yes, Lord, I'm going to Tarshish." So after boarding the ship to Tarshish, the sea roiled and the waves came over the sides of the boat, and the sailors cast lots to see whose fault it was, and the lot fell on Jonah, so they threw him overboard. And that's where we left the story last week. So friends, listen now as we continue the word of the Lord. Meanwhile, the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish. "I called out to the Lord in my distress, and the Lord answered me. From the belly of the underworld, I cried out for help. You have heard my voice. You had cast me into the depths in the heart of the seas, and a flood surrounds me. All your strong waves and rushing water passed over me. So I said, 'I have been driven away from your sight. Will I ever look again upon your holy temple?' Waters have grasped me to the point of death. The deep surrounds me. Seaweed is wrapped around my head. At the base of the undersea mountains, I have sunk down to the underworld. Its bars held me with no end in sight. But you brought me out of the pit. When my endurance was weakening, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, to your holy temple. Those deceived by worthless things lose their chance for mercy. But me, I will offer a sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. That which I have promised, I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord." Then the Lord whispered to the great fish, and the fish vomited Jonah onto the dry land. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and meditations of all our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Should it please you, O God, to speak to this unworthy servant, then speak in this and all times. Speak to us as only you can, in the silence of our hearts. Amen. Nearly a century ago, in eastern Tennessee, up in the Great Smoky Mountains, a school teacher was put on trial for teaching evolution in his classroom. In the wake of that act of civil disobedience, one of the great legal showdowns in American history happened. Clarence Darrow, one of the great legal minds of his time, defending the teacher, and William Jennings Bryan, thrice failed presidential candidate, once Secretary of State, and one always ready with a quick word, stood as counsel for the state of Tennessee. The trial was a farce, and it became the source material for the film Inherit the Wind. One of the great scenes in the movie that actually is taken from the transcripts of the trial, Darrow has Brian on the stand testifying. They go back and forth about how one needs to read Scripture. They go back and forth about miracles and about healing stories, and they finally arrive at Jonah. And Darrow asks Brian if he really thinks that a great fish swallowed Jonah alive. And Brian responds that God made humanity and God made the fish so God can make them do whatever God wants to do. Ultimately, while he was on the stand, Brian's case fell apart because when talking about the prophet Jonah and the great fish, he finally had to admit all Scripture, all approaches to Scripture require some kind of interpretation. In addition to those who pound their fist on the table to insist that every word of Scripture must be read as absolutely factual, there are those who seek to refute Scripture, proving it wrong based on those factual assumptions. Preparing this sermon, I read an entire article that was like 30 minutes of my life I will never get back. An article seeking to disprove the story of Jonah and the whale. Its author was a marine biologist who had researched all of the kinds of sea animals that could have been in the region where Jonah was tossed overboard. And after his research, he discerned that nothing was big enough to swallow a whole man except maybe perhaps a sperm whale, and there probably weren't any there then anyway. Not much drives me crazy as much as people who have this kind of silly debate, whether from the fundamentalist biblical perspective or the anti-biblical perspective. People who debate about the details of the biblical text as if all the Bible was is a list of technical building instructions for putting together a weed eater drives me crazy. You see, both of these arguments, the fundamentalist literalist and the oppositionist literalist, begin with the same first principle. Scripture is dead and two-dimensional. To them, all that matters are the words on the page. There's no meaning beyond those words. There's nothing at work in those words. Scripture serves no purpose other than to stir our spirits and engage our minds. Not that at all, no. Scripture serves only to translate information from one generation to the next. It's all it's there for. I don't know about you, but I encounter Scripture in an entirely different way. Far from being merely a tool to communicate old stories and divine information to me, Scripture comes alive when I read it often. It certainly makes me think. It absolutely stirs my soul. And on more occasions than not, it leaves me more confused when I started. That's why I'm so glad I've had good teachers of the Bible throughout my life. From Sunday school teachers to college professors to seminary professors to thoughtful congregations. People who taught me to read the Bible with an open mind and an open heart. People who taught me to take seriously the wisdom and the creativity of God. I'm glad that I was taught that Scripture has more to say than just what Scripture has to say. And that wisdom is often to be found in those in-between spots. See, back in that courtroom in Tennessee nearly a century ago, William Jennings Bryan struggles to explain how Jonah could have been swallowed by a great fish. And the reason he struggled with this is because the fish is not the point. The fish, like so many other things in Scripture, is conscripted like a pack mule to carry meaning beyond itself. Jonah, having turned away from God, turned from God's call, sought to run away to Tarshish, finds himself being swallowed by a great fish in the sea. Now, the fish thing we have to recognize in the text from the Hebrew is a great fish, which is also the expression that's used for sea monsters. Sea monsters have a specific meaning in ancient Near Eastern culture. They represent chaos. Jonah has been swallowed by chaos. The great fish is not merely a holding place for Jonah until he can return to dry land where he needs to be. He finds himself swallowed whole by chaos. Why might that be? Perhaps, I'm just spitballing here. Perhaps it's because Jonah has turned his back on the well ordering of his life, sought for him by God. Now you notice, I didn't say he was swallowed by chaos because he was disobedient. I didn't say he was swallowed by chaos because he's made God mad. Those aren't the issues in this text. There's no evidence here that God is angry with Jonah. What seems to be happening to Jonah is the inevitable outcome of his running away from God. Because if God provides order to our lives, when we run away from God, we run toward disorder. Jonah begins to realize that. A little late. He's in the belly of the whale by now. He finds himself devoured by chaos, in the belly of chaos. And his response to that is a prayer as beautiful as any of the Psalms. He knows there is only one way out of chaos, and that is faithfulness. When he prays that prayer, when Jonah realizes how he has gotten himself into this situation, he there in the belly of the whale, there in the midst of chaos, prays this prayer. And when he prays this prayer, when Jonah recognizes what has happened to him, God whispers in the Leviathan's ear, and he regurgitates the prophet up onto the beach. And there Jonah finds himself returned from chaos to the shore. On the cover of your bulletin this morning, you'll find two pictures. These are both pulpits from Lower Silesia, Poland, Czech Republic, and Slovakia. In these parts of the world, it is not uncommon for pulpits to be shaped like boats or like whales. In one of the pictures, you'll see a great gold boat. It serves as a reminder that all of us are on a journey of calling from God. The preacher and listener together sail into God's future. But it also reminds us that the preaching task is the work of engaging Scripture is not without its risks. Just like the sea vessel takes the risk of the sea when it leaves the safety of the port, so we do the same thing every time we have the courage to engage the Word of God. We have to let go the safety of the comfortable lives we have created for ourselves and risk the often rocky waters of God's truth. The second pulpit, I think it's a cooler one, mostly because I got to preach from it, is a pulpit in the shape of a whale. To get to the pulpit in that church, you have to go into a door in the back of the whale and then walk up several steps, and it's pretty dark in there, let me tell you. Until you finally stand in the mouth of the whale to preach the Word of God. The meaning of this pulpit could not be clearer. We have to have walked through chaos, lived through the belly of the whale, if we are to proclaim the Word of God in this world. See, the meaning of this pulpit reminds us that all of us find ourselves from time to time where Jonah finds himself. You see, we're culturally trained to think of adversity and difficulty as enemies of the good life. We treat them like things that should be avoided at all cost, and we forget that they are the inevitable parts of life lived in a broken world. We all, from time to time, find ourselves falling overboard and swallowed by the great fish whose name tag reads, "Hello, my name is Chaos." The question that confronts us is not, will these moments happen in our lives? The question for us is, what are we going to do when those moments do happen in our lives? Jonah's response was to pray, to remember. When Jonah found himself in the belly of the whale, when he found himself encased in chaos, he called out to God, not in hope that God would act. But you notice the way this prayer is written. It is written in the future perfect tense. He writes the prayer as if God has already done the thing the prayer is talking about. That is how confident Jonah is in God's rescue. He preaches a prayer looking back on an event that hasn't even happened yet. I confess, there have been some days lately when waking up in the morning and making it to bed at night has felt like something of an endurance race. Hardships in my friends' lives, trouble in my nation, the constantly shifting landscape of the church, and all the other things on the list that conspire to make the world feel like the dark, dank, smelly, musty, rotten, lonely belly of a whale. And God knows there are days when I look around in the belly of that whale and I want to say, to hell with it, I'm out of energy. I'm out of ideas. My get up and go has got up and went, as they say. I've got nothing left in my tank to emerge from this chaos. So God, it's on you. And it's right then, in that moment, when my spirit remembers that even Jonah did not get left. Though his disobedience had led him away from God, though he had turned away from God and sailed in the opposite direction of God's call, though that sailing away had landed him in the belly of the beast, named chaos, God remembers Jonah. God rescues Jonah. God seeks Jonah's restoration. And friends, God does that for you, and God does that for me. This morning, in a few minutes, we're going to celebrate the reaffirmation of our baptismal covenant. Like the great fish, water is a symbol of chaos in ancient literature. So it's important that we use water in baptism because it reminds us that God has tamed that chaos. It reminds us that it is out of that chaos that community and hope and promise come to life. When we are baptized, we do not merely get touched by the water, we pass through it. We pass through the chaos into the grace of God. Now, don't get me wrong. Baptism is not a magic elixir. It's not a guarantee to us that we will never know what the chaos is. Now, baptism does not promise to relieve us of any of the realities of life. What it does, what baptism does, is it gives us a gentle reminder that when we are in fact in the belly of that whale, we are not there alone. We are not abandoned. We are not forgotten. We are not forsaken. In that moment, and in every moment, we remain the anointed children of God, called out to love and serve one another the way the God who comes and finds us in the belly of a whale loves us. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. I am not Matthew 25, but I'm Alice, July 24th. That's the day we are asking you to come drop off your produce that we will be taking to El Zocalo. As you know, if you've read in your bulletin and the Caroline, the church has been divided up alphabetically so that each group is bringing something different that we can pack into boxes for El Zocalo. We will be out back at a table, and we will receive your items from 10 until 1. We've made it really easy for you, because all you have to do is drive up, drop off, and drive on. When Eileen and I first began volunteering at El Zocalo before the pandemic, we routinely filled 20 to 25 boxes for distribution. Now, consistently, they are filling 35 boxes every 2 weeks. The need is great, and they're very appreciative of all that is brought for them. This congregation has been unbelievably kind and generous to the programs at El Zocalo. Your donations, your prayers, your volunteering has all made a difference. And I'm grateful for each person who has participated. So, Wednesday, 10 to 1 o'clock, and hey, if you don't want to shop or can't, we'll take donations and shop for you. So Wednesday, 10 to 1, drive up, drop off, drive on.
Oh, to follow that. I am here as part of Matthew 25 task. We are a Matthew 25 church, and Alice's announcement demonstrates that is what we do. Our task force is continuing to address some of the groundwork for what we're going to do in the future. As Jason Black said last time, he referred to Breeze. Now, what Breeze is a church software program that we are in the process of implementing that will help provide a more efficient database for the church, keep up with members, and a special component of it will help Tammy Pflug, our church treasurer, to manage the finances and donations. So that we're looking forward to having that in place. Julie Nader on our task force has been working with Candace Meisenheimer from the session on visitor and new member engagement plans to improve and make it easier for people to plug in and get involved. And we're working on fonts, the images to use on our materials, the graphics that can be used in the things that we publish, about who we are and what we do, in preparation for an updated website and other social media resources. All of these are examples of tools to help us achieve the goals that we set. And I got to thinking about this. These were goals we set when we all got together that Sunday. And I looked back on my calendar because I was going to say the date. And I looked through January and I looked through February. This was the end of April that we did this. And it seems like so much has happened since then. I wanted it to be the first of the year. From that experience, you remember putting all of the things that you wanted for the church on those lists, and from that, we together achieved a mission statement for the church, which is on your bulletin that you have in your hands now. And our task force took those comments that you wrote down and divided them into similar stacks, put all the ones that people wrote into group them together, and compiled the goals that we've set for ourselves for the next few years. If you have not held on to your brochure, there are still some in the narthex, and it lists the goals that we are talking about and that our task force uses our guides. Goal one, to build and reclaim our heritage. We want to continue our history of being a church that identifies with justice, that we want everyone who has been through the belly of the well and everyone who is in the belly of the well to feel welcome and safe in this community. Our goal, too, is to align our theology and our practice to carry out the kinds of programs that Alice described within this understanding of our faith, because the things that we do in our ministry are larger than what we can achieve on our own. We are part of something bigger than our combined efforts. And our goal 3, to build God's house for the future, we want to grow. I am convinced, and others of you are convinced as well, that there are people in this community that would love to be in this place with us and joined with us in our work if they knew we were here and if they knew what we were about. So that is one of our goals, to find them, to let them know we are here. And our goal 4, to build a solid financial foundation. We want to get rid of all our debt so that we can continue to add programs and do things that we see as our calling. This fall, you'll hear about some more things. We're working on ways to bring us together again, a chance for you to offer more ideas, for you to help shape the programming and ministries of this church. And we're looking at different possibilities for how to do that, and we'll be talking with the session about how to structure those conversations. So get ready for future announcements of things that we can do together. Because how well we do our mission, how well we address our mission is dependent on all of us contributing our insights and our talents and our ideas. Thank you.
Friends, all that we have, all that we are gifts from God's generous hands. Let's return to God our tithes and our offerings this morning. May bring your offering to the offering boxes you'll find at the intermediate aisles of the church. And if you are visiting with us and have completed one of the visitor cards, you may put those in the offering boxes as well.
Thank you.
affirmation of baptism. Hear these words from Holy Scripture. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, servant or free, male or female, we're made to drink of one Spirit. Beloved people of God, our baptism is the sign and seal of our cleansing from sin and of our being grafted into Christ. Through the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Christ, the power of sin was broken and God's kingdom entered our world. I ask you, therefore, once again to reject sin, to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, and to confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we were baptized. Friends, trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Do you? Do you accept and acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you? And will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love to all? Will you? Together in one voice, let us confess the faith of the church in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He sitteth on the right hand, God the Father Almighty. He will come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for the life-sustaining gift of water. At the dawn of creation, your Spirit swept across the swirling of the deep. In the days of Noah, you washed away evil from the face of the earth. In the time of Moses, you led your people through the surging sea to freedom. By the rivers of Babylon, you heard our cry and brought us home at last. In the waters of the Jordan, Jesus was baptized by John and anointed with your Spirit. We give thanks for the water of baptism, in which you deliver us from captivity to sin, and by which we share in Christ's saving death and life-giving resurrection. Pour out your Holy Spirit among us now. Refresh us, renew us, restore us by your grace, so that we may live faithfully as the beloved people you have chosen, called, and claimed in Christ Jesus. All praise and honor and glory are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Friends, Christ has called us out to be God's people in the world. May the waters of baptism remind us now and remind us always that we are God's people, set apart, not above, beloved, cared for, and gathered, the body of Christ in the world. Amen. If you would like to receive a reaffirmation of your baptism, I invite you to come now down the intermediate aisles and stand here at the font with me, if you will. Think, remember your baptism. Amen. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Johnny, remember your baptism and be thankful.
Thank you, Pastor.
Remember your baptism and be thankful.
Amen.
Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful.
remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Charlie, remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Alice, remember your baptism and be thankful. Okay, remember your baptism and be thankful. Joy, remember your baptism and be thankful. Jackie, remember your baptism and be thankful. Bobby, remember your baptism and be thankful. Rosemary, remember your baptism and be thankful. 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 Remember your baptism. Baptism and be thankful. Remember your 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 baptism. And be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism, man, and be thankful. Marianne, remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. And just remember your baptism. Baptism song and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Will you stay and let it help me pull on your seats? I thought to you, remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Betty, remember your baptism. Baptism and be thankful. Sam, remember your baptism and be thankful. Drop all over. Yeah. Beth, remember your baptism and be thankful. baptism and be thankful. You're fine, you're fine, you're fine. Remember your baptism and be thankful. Let us pray. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's blessings. Amen. Whew.